Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of JSW Steel, hosted by Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Bagmar from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rituja. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for logging in for JSW Steel 2Q FY22 earnings call. Firstly, I want to thank the management for giving Prabhudas Lilladher Limited an opportunity to host the call. Now, I would hand over the call to Ashwin Bajaj, Group Head Investor Relations, to introduce the management and take the call forward. Over to you, Ashwin.
Yeah, thank you, Kamlesh, and thanks for hosting the call today for us. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ashwin Bajaj, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to JSW Steel's earnings call for Q2 FY22. We have with us today the management team represented by Mr. Seshagiri Rao, Joint Managing Director and Group CFO, Dr. Vinod Nowal, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Jayant Acharya, Director of Commercial and Marketing, and Mr. Rajeev Pai, Chief Financial Officer. We will start with opening remarks by Mr. Rao and then open the floor to Q&A. So with that, over to you, Mr. Rao.
Good evening to everybody. I welcome you to the briefing of our second quarter performance for the financial year 2021-22. The second quarter generally is a little subdued due to monsoon in India. So at the beginning of the quarter, we thought we had to tackle about subdued demand in India, and we need to do more exports. But the way the kind of surprises and challenges that have come in, that is energy crisis. So that shortage of energy across the world has brought a lot of volatility. Coking coal prices have shot up to unsustainable levels of $400 per ton. That is in a very, very short span of time. Over and above that, the Chinese policies, which are veering around the two themes of widespread or common prosperity and also the decarbonization, those policies which have been finalized by China, that led to a visible slowdown in the overall economy. That also led to lower investments in the residential property sector. So we have seen a contracting steel demand in China month after month. In the month of July, we observed that the steel demand has fallen by 13%, which went down in the month of August by 18%. In the month of September, it went down by 24%. So the steel demand in China in the first 9 months of the calendar year has fallen to 731 million tons, as against 736 million tons in the previous 9 months. So 0.7% lower demand in China, majorly due to the reasons which I just explained. Whereas the rest of the world is not exactly the way Chinese steel demand has fallen. Notwithstanding the resurgence of infections in some regions and the resultant lockdowns and energy crisis in some of the regions, we have seen a good steel demand as far as the rest of the world is concerned, majorly due to strong manufacturing activity, lower interest rates, and government focus on the infrastructure, energy transition. There are some of the reasons which we could see why the steel demand in the rest of the world was stronger. Taking these factors into account, WSA, when they have given short-range outlook in the month of October, they're exactly on the dot. They said the steel demand in the current calendar year will grow by 4.5%. Whereas if you look at region-wise breakup of the demand, China's demand will come down by 1%, which you already mentioned that it has come down by 0.7% in the first 9 months. It's more or less similar to what WSA has been saying. In the rest of the world, the steel demand will grow by 11.5%. So what I would like to share with you is that at one side, when Chinese steel demand is falling, rest of the world steel demand is reasonably okay. In this context, if I look at as far as India is concerned, we have consumed 49 million tons of steel in the first 6 months of this financial year, which is almost 13-14 million tons more than the corresponding period of last year. Generally, the second half will be much better. Already we are seeing signs of improvement in the construction infrastructure project following the monsoon. So we expect, as we guided in the beginning, that the demand in the second half will be strong and will be close to 110 million ton as we have mentioned. In addition to this, there are some more developments which I would like to share with you. I am very happy to say that our respected Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sajjan Jindal, has been elected as the Chairman of World Steel Association for the year 21-22. It is the first time an Indian representing to occupy this position and to serve this position. You also must have noticed in our communications to stock exchanges and press releases, we have issued world's first dollar-denominated sustainability-linked bonds from the steel sector globally first time. I am also happy to share that JSW Steel secured the award, Steely Award, from WSA for excellence in the life cycle assessment for development and promotion of new product, Neo Steel TMT Bar. In addition to that, one historic and notable event that has happened is the commissioning of the first time 5 million ton brownfield expansion commissioning at once in India. We have commissioned the largest blast furnace along with the melt shop with 350 ton converters. This is a very, very important event in the history of JSW Steel. As we have guided that there will be a production of 1.5 million ton incrementally from our expansion project, and we will be able to sell 1.4 million ton from this expansion. Now it will be a reality. And I'm also happy to share that it is a very, very smooth startup, and we are reasonably confident that we'll be able to ramp up the capacity quickly. In this context, if you see our results, it is highest ever consolidated quarterly revenue, highest operating EBITDA, and highest net profit. The volume numbers, as we already shared, it is a 4.1 million ton of crude steel production, 91% capacity utilization. If there were no shutdowns at Vijayanagar plant for converters and also in Salem plant in blast furnace, the capacity utilization could have been higher. That is why you would see sequentially a flat capacity utilization and production. The sales on a standalone basis is 3.787 million tons, and a consolidated basis it is 3.83 million tons. But what is interesting in the sales profile is that our exports have gone up. As I mentioned, that the domestic demand in this quarter is a bit subdued. We have supplemented with higher exports in this quarter. It is 38% of the total sales, a growth of 22% quarter on quarter in the overall export mix. Our value-added steel product mix has been at 60%, as against 51% in the previous year. So we have maintained, like in the quarter one is around 61%. were more or less at the same level as regards to sale of our value-added steel products. Our retail sales have gone up quarter on quarter by 25%. Our branded sales have gone up. Our sales in the solar and appliances segment have gone up quite substantially, either on quarter on quarter or year on year. They are some of the highlights of our sales mix. But in spite of that, if you look at the sales consolidated number, is 3.83 million ton, and year on year basis, it was slightly lower. Due to mainly accumulation of inventories, which has happened in the first half of this financial year, it is almost 500,000 ton accumulation of inventory when I compare with as on 31st March 21. If I compare 30th June, it is a 100,000 ton more inventory. As we have been explaining, the kind of constraints in the port logistics, the availability of containers, and very high shipping freights, there are some of the reasons where the port stocks remained at a elevated levels even during this quarter. So our effort is going forward that to reduce these inventories that are accumulated almost 500,000 ton in the first half of this year. If I look at the blended NSR cost and EBITDA per ton on a standalone basis, the blended NSR quarter on quarter went up by 5%. But the cost pressures are severe. Is at 2 points. One is coking coal prices have gone up globally. We have been guiding that in this quarter there will be a $30 per ton incremental cost we need to absorb on the coking coal that got reflected in the consumption. But what has happened in the iron ore prices because of the lower demand by China? The prices crashed from $230 plus globally to $120 per ton, which is almost 50% reduction globally. Whereas Indian iron ore prices have not moved the way global prices have moved. That is why we have to bear the brunt of very high unsustainable coking coal prices that have gone up because of various reasons globally. Over and above that, the benefit of lower iron ore prices internationally has not come to the Indian steel industry, because the prices are still at elevated levels in India. Because of this reason, the cost sequentially went up by 19%, when the blended NSR went up by only 5%. The net impact of this, the EBITDA per ton on a standalone basis was 22,900 rupees per ton, sequentially lower by 3,374 rupees. So the EBITDA on standalone is 8,673 crores, but only other income, just I would like to highlight one point, is that Bhushan Power and Steel, at the time when we made the investments through an SPV, we have mentioned that we hold 49% in the company and we also hold optionally fully convertible debentures, balance instrument, where we have a right to convert into equity. As and when it gets converted, then our holding will go up to 83.28%. So we exercised that option as on 1st of October 2021. So from 1st October 2021, now we have control through SPV in BPSL. We hold 83.28%. So from third quarter onwards, there will be a consolidation of BPSL results and the debt while we announce the Q3 results onwards. Then at the time when OFCDs were to be converted, there is a remeasurement of the fair value of OFCDs. So when we did that, there is an additional income which has come as other income, which is approximately 702 crores of rupees. Net of tax impact, the net profit has gone up due to this is 559 crores. After considering that, the profit after tax on a standalone basis is 5,383 crores. Our iron ore captive has gone up from 42% to 50% in this quarter. Coming back to the overseas operations, as we have been guiding, there will be a continuous improvement in the overall operations. The EBITDA from US operations, both Baytown and Mingo together, it went up to $61.4 million as against $43 million in the last quarter. sequential quarter. So there is a good improvement as far as the contribution from US is concerned. At the same time, the Italian operations also recorded a positive EBITDA in the last quarter, which is 6.1 million euro, as against a loss of 5 million euro sequentially in the quarter one. So from overseas, I think it is a good turnaround. The EBITDA contribution was 485 crores of rupees compared to sequential number of 282 crores in the Q1. Indian subsidiaries also have done quite well. Either Coated, ARCL, VTPL, other subsidiaries all together contributed 1194 crores. Sequentially, it is higher when compared to 1145 number in the Q1. So the net addition after adjusting consolidated adjustments, this has given on the consolidation 1745 crore EBITDA incrementally, both Indian and overseas operations together. So with that, the operating EBITDA on a consolidated basis is 10,417 crores. So here, what is important here, as we have been guiding, in the Q1, the EBITDA was 10,274 crores. In the Q2, notwithstanding the EBITDA margin per ton has come down, still we could show a higher EBITDA in the Q2 over Q1. It is 10,417 crores, which is 32%. EBITDA per ton was 26,172 rupees per ton in the quarter two. Over and above contribution from overseas operations and also Indian subsidiaries, the joint venture companies under control, particularly BPSL, have done extremely well. So in the last quarter, they have posted a net profit of 1448 crores. So taking into account the proportionate profit pertaining to JSW Steel and also proportionate from Monnet, additionally, the share of joint venture contribution was 603 crores in the last quarter, as against 323 in the quarter one. So with all this, I think the highest ever profit after tax of 7,179 crores for the quarter. Here, what is important is that in the entire financial year, FY21, when JSW Steel posted an EBITDA of 20,141 crores, in the first half itself, the EBITDA posted by the company is 20,691 crores. So it is higher than the entire year of last year, the first half EBITDA. Similarly, the profit after tax number, it is 13,079 crores, is the net profit for first 6 months, as against 7,873 crores of last year, for full year. One more thing here is, generally, when we announce the results, we don't add production and sales numbers of the companies under joint control and also overseas operations. So if I look at the standalone production number was 4.1, if we add the Mingo Junction production and also the Monnet Ispat, JSW Ispat Specialty Steel Products, and also BPSL, both together, 5.07 million tons of crude steel production in one quarter we have done. If I look at first half, this number is 10.14 million tons. So in the Q2, there is a growth of 29% in the crude steel production. Similarly, in the sales side, the similar number on a comparable basis is 4.83 million tons, which is a 14% growth. These are all very sizable numbers in terms of both production and sales, if I consolidate the companies under joint control also. The overall debt of the company has gone up slightly in this quarter compared to Q1. It is 55,394 crores as against 54,900 crores. So there is a 500 crores approximately the increase in the net debt. Because there is an increase in inventory and overall working capital investments happened in the first 6 months, total 8,200 crores. Is the total investments which we have made in the working capital, either in terms of increase in inventories or increase in iron ore inventories or the stocks built, raw material built for commissioning commencement of production at our Dolvi unit Altogether, there is incremental 8,200 crores. We expect part of this 8,200 crores will get released in the second half. The debt to equity, debt to EBITDA, everything has improved substantially, either compared to 30th June or 31st March. I'm also happy to say that the projects which we have taken up at Vijayanagar, brownfield expansion of 5 million ton, is progressing quite well. What is not commissioned at Vijayanagar is only CGL-2 that we will be commissioning in Q3-22, and one color-coated line that is in Q3, we will commission that also. The coke oven plant we will do in phases, partly in this financial year, partly in the next financial year. So these are what is going on at Vijayanagar other than brownfield expansions. At Vasind and Tarapur, more or less everything has been completed, excepting one galvanizing line, which we are commissioning in this quarter, and a CAL line and tinplate line that we will do in March and June 2022. With that, these projects which we have taken up in the last 3 years more or less get completed. Then the outlook, just I would like to spend 1 or 2 minutes here. As regards to the overall demand, as I mentioned, we expect Indian steel demand will pick up in the second half. As far as global steel demand, particularly, is very encouraging when we hear WSA short-range outlook. So we expect this demand will remain strong going forward, and it will accelerate as far as India is concerned. Then the iron ore side, the kind of demand which is falling from China. So we expect iron ore prices to fall further from the current levels. Coking coal prices are at a very elevated levels. So we anticipate that there will be some correction downwards in the coking coal prices. But as long as these costs remain at these levels, we expect steel prices also to pick up. They won't fall down because of very high and elevated cost pressures which are there right now. In view of this volatility which we have seen in the coking coal price, which is very difficult for any company to manage, we are also observing what is happening globally. The companies, when such exceptional situations arise, they contemplate looking at additional surcharges to pass it on those unsustainable increases. So as and when the prices come down, the benefit will pass it on to the customer. If it goes up, it will be increased. We are also looking at very seriously the kind of volatility we are seeing in the coking coal prices and our Indian companies' dependency, Indian steel companies' dependency on import of coking coal. We are also looking at whether we should introduce the energy surcharge compensating for the increase in the coking coal prices. Then the Dolvi operations are concerned, as I mentioned, the expansion project, the cost will be lower. When compared to the existing operations, which is gas-based and DRI is used in the mix, whereas in the expansion project, it is completely hot metal. Therefore, the costs are expected to be significantly lower in our expansion of Dolvi unit, and almost 1.5 million ton production and 1.4 million ton sales from Dolvi expansion, we expect the benefit of lower cost will come to us. With that, I open the floor for any clarifications or questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Operator, what do you?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on, you know, the pro forma debt, including BSPL, and what would be the EBITDA of BSPL in this quarter, and what is the sales volume that you are contemplating for the year?
Yeah,
The EBITDA for BPSL in the quarter two, the net profit was 1,448 crores, and the EBITDA was 2,022 crores.
Sir, pro forma debt number, including BPSL?
In the BPSL, the debt outstanding as on 30th June was 9,000 crores. We have prepaid part of the debt in October. So we have prepaid 1,400 crores, 1,800 crores in this quarter. So the debt will come down, 9,000 minus 1,800 crores. So the pro forma will have as on date is 7,200.
So it will be like if I add, it will be like 55,000 plus 7,200, whatever it is. So that is the pro forma debt of the company as of now.
Right.
Okay. The second question, sir, is on profitability. We have seen that in this quarter, it has come down significantly compared to last quarter. Any specific reason for the same?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sir, iron ore royalty cost that we report on P&L in the standalone number, it has come down significantly. So just wanted to know the reason for the same.
No, in the last quarter, our one-year MDPA commitment we had to meet in June. That's where the dispatches were significantly higher in the last quarter. Whereas in this quarter, it is lower by 3 million tons, whatever we have commitment corresponding to this year. To that extent, we have done. If you have seen in the previous year, in the quarter one, the dispatch quarter one and quarter two, the dispatches were lower. That was made up in the Q3 and Q4, and also partly in the Q1. That is why the premium paid in the Q1 quarter was higher relative to the Q2. Q2 dispatches were lower by 3 million tons.
Okay, got it. So this is more the reflective of a sustaining royalty level, I mean, going ahead.
Sorry?
Yeah, so this is more a reflection of the sustainable royalty level that we can consider, the premium level, actually, if your dispatches and all remain the same.
Yeah, approximately at that level. But the premium will depend upon market price. So we have to look at what would be the market price. It can go up or down, but the volumes will be in the similar range.
Great, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. So my first question, I'm sorry, but I did not get the number. You mentioned BPSL EBITDA in the second quarter was how much, sir?
2,022. EBITDA per ton was 23,000 rupees.
So sir, just trying to understand that EBITDA per ton at BPSL was 23,000 rupees, and for JSW standalone operations was also similar number. So do you expect this convergence to stay? Because the expectation of the BPSL asset was a relatively higher cost asset, and it will take some time for the margins to recover.
Pinakin, but your voice is breaking, sir. Can you please check?
Sure. So sir, I mean, the expectation was that the BPSL asset was higher cost, but the margins are similar, sir. So should we expect this convergence of margins to sustain?
No, number one, when you compare with JSW Steel on a blended basis, you have to look at we have multiple locations, and the cost structure in each location was different. If you look at Dolvi, it is completely gas-based, natural gas-based plant, so the cost structure was different. And iron ore cost for getting from Odisha is different. Similarly, Vijayanagar cost structure was different. So EBITDA margins per ton and location basis is different. So as far as BPSL is concerned, there are a lot of things which are happening, as I mentioned to you. Cost reduction with PCI is getting commissioned, and we have recently commissioned the coke oven plant. So there are a lot of things which we have done to reduce the cost further. So assuming the steel prices will remain at the same levels, then BPSL should do well going forward.
Understood, sir. This is very helpful. Second question is just trying to understand the steel price versus coking coal cost movement forward now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what we understand is that flat product prices have seen a significant price hike in the month of October. It is logical to assume that JSW will sell more in the second half domestically, which tends to have higher premiums. And there is also the tailwind of auto price contracts being reset. So there will be a material NSR increase. Again, that, sir, there will be a coking coal and gas price increase also, both in medium term. So how should we look at the now at this point of time? Will it contract materially, or can they hold out at versus what the second quarter levels were?
So on the coking coal side, coking coal side numbers which we had guided last time for quarter two was $30 to $35 more than the previous quarter, and that has played out. We were in the range of $158 for quarter two. We expect that the coking coal price impact for quarter three will be higher by about $95 to $100 per ton. As you said rightly, the impact of the cost increase is getting reflected gradually in the market. The prices of steel products in India, which was lagging the international price cycle, is now going up. October, we have seen some price increases. And going forward in November and December, we see price adjustments going upwards to balance the cost increase. There would be some play out on the iron ore side, which the cost reductions which we are expecting on the iron ore side could neutralize some of the cost impact.
And sir, what about the gas cost increase at Dolvi? Given, I mean, what is the way, I mean, JSW sources gas for the Dolvi operation?
So natural gas, whatever we are buying both at Dolvi and Salav, is at the market price, because there is nothing available under APM. So we are buying whatever market price is there. That's why the costs have gone up as far as Dolvi is concerned. But here what is important, as I mentioned, is the expansion project is not gas-based. So the cost there is, as I mentioned, close to 15-20% lower than the existing operations in Dolvi.
Understood. Thank you very much,
sir. One more important information is the total debt of BPSL when we took over was 10,800 crores. And at the same time, we also had in the SPV additional debt of 2,500 crores. So total debt which we raised is 13,300 crores, including the debt in the SPV. Out of that, total paid, including payments made in October, is 3,300 crores was prepaid. So the balance debt that is there today is 10,000 crores. There is one correction to the numbers which I mentioned.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Just continuing on the previous question, just want to understand this coking coal cost a little bit better. So one is, so $95 to $100 is on a per ton of coking coal, are we talking, or on the steel front? And second, what would be our inventory in terms of number of months? And for the fourth quarter, are we, I mean, already buying at the current $350, $400 per ton prices?
So the cost which we indicated, $95 to $100, is per ton of coking coal. As far as the inventory is concerned, we usually have inventories of about 2 months in the system.
Understood. And I mean, with respect to, I mean, is there any hedging or any long-term or medium-term contracts available in the market which we might benefit from fourth quarter onwards, or is it entirely on market-based?
So the liquidity in the coking coal market, as you may be aware, is limited from a futures perspective. So yeah, I think we have contractual pricing and index linked mechanisms for coking coal, which would be the way of calculating the cost for coking coal arrivals into India. However, our stocks in the system which are there will be be about 45 to 60 days there.
Understood. Fine.
Here, in regards to the cost is concerned, as Jaint mentioned, around $9,500 per ton for per ton of coking coal is an increase which we may have to absorb in the quarter three. But at the same time, iron ore prices, where correction has happened from 6,560 rupees peak we have seen in June to 4,760 rupees current price, 1,800 rupees per ton, where NMDC has reduced the prices. So this reduction in the iron ore price, that also will get reflected by way of a lower iron ore prices, if not more reductions that may happen in iron ore. That will compensate to some extent the increase in the coking coal cost. The third point is the Dolvi expansion, which I already highlighted, that it is significantly lower, 15 to 20% lower than the existing operations. That benefit will also come in the Q3. Over and above that, the turnaround of overseas operations, which also I touched upon, where the capacity utilization at Mingo Junction and Baytown is in the range of around 50-55%, that is expected to go up. So some more upside in terms of overall improvement in EBITDA from overseas. Similarly, downstream, where the contribution by JSW Coated was in the last quarter significantly higher than either Q1 or corresponding quarter of last year. So we expect more volumes from Coated and better margins there. So all this together, these are the additional benefits which would flow over and above the volume growth in India, which can happen. in addition to all these factors, we are also contemplating, as I mentioned, about energy surcharge. Is it possible to pass it on if the current unsustainable coking coal prices continue?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the royalty that is payable on iron ore transferred to BPSL from JSW. So what is the rate of royalty we are paying on that iron ore? And once BPSL comes in as a subsidiary, will it have a lower rate of royalty, or because it's a subsidiary, we will continue with a higher rate even after the company comes in our...
As per my understanding, as far as royalty payment is concerned, any mines which are secured in the auction, those companies can supply to subsidiaries for captive purposes for up to 25% of the total production without any implication of additional royalty. So anything that is to be supplied in excess of 25% from the captive mine, then their extra royalty is applicable. Similarly, other than captive mines, for instance, today we have four mines. Out of four mines in Orissa, only Narayan Poshi is the captive mine. Balance mines, I think we will be able to supply without any problem. We can supply to anybody. There is no restriction in the auction mines other than captive. Captive, 25% we can supply.
Sure. Thanks a lot. My second question is on the surcharge that you referred to on higher coal costs. So what would be the difference between like taking it as a surcharge and outright increasing the prices? I mean, we can also like change prices as and when the costs go down. So is there any other implication, or is it more like having a separate line item for that?
No, the coking coal prices, the way it moved up every day, $15-$20 per ton, this is very difficult for any company to manage this type of volatility. And at the same time, the way it went up, it may come down also. Actually, we don't want to have any extra from this increase in coking coal or reduction in coking coal. So whatever to the base the prices have gone up, we wanted to put separate line item. If it comes down, the benefit will be passed on. This is what we are contemplating. We have not taken the call yet.
Yes. And lastly, again on BPSL, any kind of run rate that we should be looking at for the second half and next year in terms of production and sales? What's the kind of ramp up we can expect?
They are operating right now at a level of annualized basis, 2.7, 2.8 million tons. They are already spending money to complete the expansion to 3.5 million ton, 3.5 to 5 million ton. So at least, and also the reduction in the cost of production by setting up the coke oven plants, the PCI system, the lime plant, plus other improvements which they are doing, they are spending almost close to 700 crore. This will get completed partly by end of this financial year and also partly in the next year. These benefits also will come, higher volumes, lower costs that can come in from BPSL.
Sure. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, in terms of steel realization, compared to 2Q average, how has the spot rebar and HRC prices moved? Any color on that?
You're asking a question is regarding movement of current prices vis-a-vis the average?
Yes, sir. Just trying to see how much increase we have taken.
Okay. So in the increases in the month of October, we have been able to begin. The month of July to September in India from a demand perspective was weak on a seasonally weak quarter. And we mentioned that in the earlier deliberations. So the price improvements have started taking place from October. So we have increased between 1250 to 1500 in flats as on 1st of October for the month of October. And we have increased long products in the range of 3,500 rupees per ton beginning of October. There have been some intermittent increases during the course of the month for some retail markets, but I think that is for a smaller portion of the volumes. The we are looking at how the overall demand and the price absorption plays out. And we are hoping to increase prices and correct it upwards from 1st November. How to do the surcharge mechanism as a factor of the price is something, as we said, we are contemplating and we'll look into and accordingly implement.
Understood. And compared to export realization, how does the HRC price in domestic market faring for us?
So, as we had mentioned earlier, also the international markets over the last, let's say, 6 months have been very robust. International prices have been higher. As we know, in US and Europe, the prices are much higher than what is prevalent in Asia. India has been among the lower price markets globally in the past few months. So we are now seeing the Indian prices picking up. And if you were to look at the value-added space, I think the international markets and Indian markets will probably be very similar in nature with respect to realizations going forward. As far as hot rolled is concerned, I think there are certain markets which are restricted right now because of certain quotas and certain safeguard measures. So hot rolled prices vary from region to region. But by and large, I would say that the domestic price pickup post-November may make the domestic prices slightly higher than the export prices.
Understood. And just one last question regarding the tax losses at BPSL, how much is there and how we'll be utilizing it?
So it remains as a separate independent entity until Supreme Court judgment comes in, final outcome comes in. So here only our holding has increased to 83%. It has become subsidiary today through SPD.
Okay, understood, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Chandak from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers, sir. My first question was with respect to the thermal coal prices and how is it going to impact our cost of production in the third quarter, given the strong rise in the Indonesian coal prices?
So thermal coal prices are going up because we have 600 megawatts captive unit at Vijayanagar and also PPA with JSW Energy for another 600 megawatts. So on these 1200 megawatts, whatever cost increase that will happen in the variable cost due to increase in the thermal coal prices, that would come in. The point here is we are setting up, or we have already commissioned part of it, 175 plus 60. 235 megawatt power plant using the gases that would come out of blast furnace and coke oven at Dulvi. So there the cost increases won't be there due to power. So in fact power becomes cheaper. That's why I have been repeatedly highlighting that the cost of operation of the expansion project is much cheaper compared to the existing operation of 5 million ton at Dulvi. Because this power cost will be much lower in the expansion project.
Sir, would it be safer to assume that the overall cost, thermal cost impact would be close to about 2,000 to 2,500 rupees on a blended basis at the company-wide level in Q3? Because still a average for coal is imported.
Generally, on an average, 600 units per ton of steel is the consumption. So then I leave it to you how much you will take based on thermal coal price. Every day it goes on changing. It will be very difficult to say this is the price. So whatever price you take for the per unit and add to that 70-80 say towards fixed cost. So that is the cost of power.
Sure, sir. And so my second question was again with respect to BPSL. Now, we are increasing the capacity of BPSL from 2.6 to 3.5 million tons through balance of plant. So, by when can we expect BPSL to reach 3.5 million tons capacity?
Today, it is operating at
5 million tons.
Sure. As on date, it is operating at 100% of existing capacity. So we are spending 1500 crores for cost reduction plus expansion to 3.5 million ton. This is expected to be completed in the first half of next financial year. So the expansion from 3.5 to 5 million ton, we are spending another 2000 crores of rupees. So that is expected to be completed by end of FY23 or in the early 24 financial year.
So if everything falls in place by end of FY23, BPSL itself would be 5 million tons.
Correct.
And on top of it, we have Vijayanagar coming in by second half of FY23 with another 5 million tons.
No, Vijayanagar 5 million ton will come by FY24 end.
So, you know, in 3 years time frame, sir, about 15 million tons, not 12 and a half million tons of incremental capacity. Are we looking at exports market again, or we believe that Indian market would be wide enough to absorb this kind of a volume?
Vishal, which I mentioned in my opening remarks, that the demand will be 110 million ton in this year, as against 94 million ton last year. So 16 million ton incremental demand, which we are expecting. And the exports last year is 17 million ton. In the first 6 months, we already done 11 million ton as a country. So exports are quite strong from India. So taking these two factors into account, in my view, there is enough demand that would be available in India to absorb the capacity. If capacities don't come, there could be shortages.
Mr. Vishal Sandag, may we request you to please rejoin the queue. We have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holding. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So congratulations on turning around overseas subsidiaries and good performance at Bhushan Power also. The positive surprise. So first question on so Bhushan Power, there was no exceptional in this 23,000 EBITDA per ton, and if the things remain constant, assuming steel price hike and coking coal increases, the EBITDA will be in line with whatever JSW Steel is doing right now.
Bhavik, the way you have to look at the EBITDA per ton numbers is JSW Steel, you are comparing the standalone numbers with BPSL integrated operation, including downstream.
Yeah.
So if you really want to compare apple to apple, then you have to add JSW quoted EBITDA also to JSW Steel standalone and then compare. Then it will definitely, even on blended basis, it is higher. So BPSL, out of the 2.8 million tons, a significant portion of that is downstream. That is why the margins are quite healthy.
Sure. And so what was the figure of revenue and capital acceptances in the quarter?
Raw material acceptances slightly have gone up because coking coal prices have gone up globally. It is $1,014 million is the raw material acceptances. But the capital acceptances we continue to pay, it is outstanding is $369 million. So it is 1383, both raw material and capital acceptances together, which has come down from 1520 in the or 30th June. So there is a reduction in the overall acceptances, majorly in the capital side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. One is, how should one understand or make of the residual 17% stake in BPSL? Any timelines or targets that you are looking at over here?
No, after conversion, now it is 83.28 and balance is held by the group company. That is the amount they have contributed. That is why their holding is around 17% as on date. In addition to that, there is a 2,500 crore of debt outstanding along with accrued interest in that company, in the SPV, what I mean to say. The 2,500 crores, there are warrants that are available both to the shareholders. At that relevant time, who will contribute, how much they will contribute to the 2,500 crore payment. Based on that, the holding can undergo a change. But as on date, 2,500 crores keeping is a debt. Then it is 83.17.
Right. Sir, I was trying to understand, basically you indicated there is a Supreme Court verdict which is also there, and there is a tax angle also which is there. I'm just trying to understand, when will we see the entity entirely merged so that there could be a tax benefit at a consolidated level as well?
If we see the ratios today, they are comparable what the JSW Steel ratios are there. But because of the Supreme Court litigation is pending, it will be very difficult to hazard a guess when it will be decided, when we can take a call on this issue, when we can decide on this issue. So therefore, we have to wait eventually for the Supreme Court litigation outcome. Pending that, now consolidation will happen as a subsidiary.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just was trying to understand, if you're saying that coking coal prices will go up by about $100 in this quarter, that's obviously not capturing, you know, peak prices. And while we're anticipating price, steel price increases to come through in the next couple of months, would they be enough to offset that inflation? And second is, how much, what is the advantage that you're likely to see in the iron ore prices in this quarter?
So iron ore prices, as I mentioned to you, there is an 1800 rupees reduction in India, which is not reflected to a major extent, the benefit in the accounts in Q2. So that benefit will come, maybe any further reductions. But if I look at the drop in international prices versus local iron ore prices, there is a big gap. So we expect some more corrections will happen in iron ore prices, that benefit will come. So that will neutralize to some extent the increase in the coking coal price.
Okay. And the other thing is that the energy surcharge that you were referring to, now it's, you know, obviously price increases in India have been, steel price increases have been slower, given that they've been more or less constant in the last few months, and now also it's a gradual up move. So is, will it be easy, to, you know, for the, even if you bring in energy surcharges, even if you pass on the benefits eventually on reversal, but will you find it easy to kind of pass it on if implemented?
This is a new concept, which new concept to India. As far as overseas is concerned, not only in steel sector, in other sectors it is prevalent. So concept is known. So that's why we are not saying we already taken a call to do this. We are contemplating because the markets are so uncertain, so volatile. Every day if it goes up by $50 and come down by $50, it's very difficult to manage that type of volatility. So this concept, which is internationally accepted principle, we are also looking at. We discuss with our customers and then take a call.
Thank you. Just one last question on Bhushan Power. Next year's capex will be about 2,000 crores, right? And how much do we build in for this year?
Total capex is 3,500 crores, including 1,500 crores for capacity expansion to 3.5 million ton and cost reduction. Both together is 3,500 crores. This amount will be spent over a period of 2 years, 2.5 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhar Saikar from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, yes.
So just to understand, first of all, congratulations for good set of numbers. Bhushan Power, this date, you told total date is around 13,300 crore, which is 10,000 in JSW and 3,300 in the this one, SPV. So this first, this 3,300, is it included in the date that we are seeing in 55,000 crore? And second, when you said that out of this 3,300 crore has been repaid, so is it in the SPV only, this entire 10,000 is now only in JSW?
No, I think I have to correct you. The numbers which I gave to you, at the time when we took over Bhushan Power and Steel, the debt was 10,800 crores. Then there was another 2,500 crores in the SPV. So the total debt at the time of takeover was 13,300 crores. Out of that, we have prepaid 3,300 crores. That means BPSL plus SPV together, the debt outstanding is 10,000 crores.
Okay.
So this 10,000 crores is not included in JSW Steel 55,400 crores number, which we have given it to you. So as and when we consolidate in this quarter, next this quarter, then it get consolidated along with the EBITDA.
Okay. So currently it is out of this 55,000.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Rahul Jain from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So I just wanted to check on your volume. So are we maintaining guidance for this year of 18.5 and 17.5 of production?
Yeah, if you see, Rahul, the first 6 months we have posted a production of 8.2 million ton from existing operations. We have given the guidance of 17 million ton from existing operations. So if we can make adjustments of shutdowns which has happened in the Q2 and oxygen shortage in the Q1, which will not be there in the Q3 and Q4, so 17 million ton we will be able to achieve from existing operations. Similarly, the way we have now a smooth commissioning of our expansion project, that 1.5 million ton from expansion, we are confident that we will be able to get from there. So 18.5 million ton is within achievable reach.
Right, right. And sir, what about the downstream? Are we fully equipped now on the expanded operations or in the other, you know, unit in JSW quoted?
Yeah, we are fully equipped except for all the lines have started except for one line in for galvanized and GL in Vasind. which should start up in the next 2 months. Other than that, all the units are operating now fully in a stabilized manner.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as this was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. If you have further questions, please feel free to contact us at Investor Relations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Prabhudas Leeladhar Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.